The Soccer Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's US-based and available in 40 states. Head to cut.com, that's K-U-T-T.com, and use the promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100 times in NBA, MLB, NHL, college basketball, and more. Sign up today using promo code SGPN and get a 100% deposit match. And finally, we're also brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use the code SGPN to get 50% off your first month and start making smarter bets today.
10 games to go in Manchester United's Premier League season. Plenty of opportunity for individuals to impress and the collective to progress at the table. And, of course, in the FA Cup too. Wisser onto Tony!
It's at the post.
And the post saves Manchester United there.
And you expect Tony to score from there. But he hits the woodwork and United breathe again.
It's a lovely ball over. A really good header from Jorgensen, which grazes the bar on its way over.
These balls that he's putting in, Jensen, are absolutely unbelievable.
Fernandez into Hoyland!
Oh,
super stop from Flecken. And Brentford needed him to stand up there. Jarmolyuk will hit it. Onana claws it away. And manages to recover two to deny Keane Lewis Potter.
He's a little bit unsighted as well. He gets a good hand to it. What a good save.
Diogo Dalot. Anthony. Not seen too much of him since he's come on, but we very nearly saw something special.
It's not that far away.
Mark Flecken searching for Tony. Oh, and the bar is rattled again, and Bermo this time. How have Brentford not scored in this game? Anthony again. Casemiro maybe. McTominay, Hoyland, Mason Mount! And Brentford can't.
Unbelievable.
Oh, dear, dear. In from Godos. Tony is there on the turn. They're desperately trying to stop him. And no. Steals the moment from Mason Mount. And grabs a point for Brentford.
You are listening to Bet MUFC here on the Soccer Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. You can follow BetMUFC on X at BetMUFC. That's at BetMUFC. You can follow the Soccer Gambling Podcast at SGP Soccer. That's at SGP Soccer. You can follow the Sports Gambling Podcast Network at the SGP Network. That's at the SGP Network. And also at Gambling Podcast. That's at Gambling Podcast. And finally, you can also follow my other X account. It is at LockBettingX. That's at LockBettingX. On that account, I post my sports betting opinions. I post my free bets for you guys, winning free bets. And finally, I also post, most significantly, my profit and loss spreadsheet every single month. The pinned tweet on that account is the P&L for the previous month. So the latest month is the pinned tweet. And if you scroll down, you can find all of the other spreadsheets, or you can find them in one easy location, which is lockbetting.com. Those spreadsheets accumulate to 130 consecutive months of transparent and tracked profit. What that means is for a decade and 10 additional months, I haven't had a single losing month in sports betting. Yeah, I've had losing days, I've had losing weeks, but I've never lost across that 30-31 day period. I've won every single month for 130 months in a row. All of the other spreadsheets are there. I encourage you to do your due diligence and look through. And when you do, not only will you see that we've made a profit for 130 months in a row, but we also manage a bankroll impeccably. I don't chase losing plays with bigger stakes. We don't put out things like 3-star, 5-star, 10-star plays. We don't disguise them as 5-star, 10-star, 20-star plays. We don't have whale plays. We don't have max plays. We don't have play of the day, play of the week, play of the month, play of the year, play of the century. None of that Monopoly money garbage. Just sensible staking, which has led to a profit every single month with sensible bankroll management, betting accessible for anybody with a disposable income, verified by real clients every single month on the P&L profit and loss spreadsheet posted every month. And as I said, the pin tweet is the latest month on the X account, and the DMs are open on the X account if you have any questions at LockBettingX. That's at LockBettingX. So moving on with this edition of BetMUFC, obviously, as you heard from the highlights at the top, Man United played very poorly at Brentford and were very lucky to get anything from that game. The combination of bad misses, lucky strikes that went against the post and crossbar, and a decent performance from Onana stopped Manchester United, not only losing, but losing handsomely away to Brentford. That was a worse performance than when Man United lost 4-0 away to Brentford in Erik ten Hag's second game in charge. This one really could have been 4-5-0 and it would have been justified. And then a gift from God was given to Man United, where they actually took the lead in the 96th minute through Mason Mount finally showing up in a United shirt. We had seconds to hold on for, and after holding on and surviving 96 minutes, Man United conceded in the 98th minute to Brentford. Poor defending, did not clear a ball, continued to bobble around the box. Ivan Toney turned, got the ball back across, and Brentford were there to get the equaliser. So poor all round from United. Poor that off the back of that Liverpool game, they didn't show up. Obviously, from a betting perspective, this could be diagnosed as a letdown spot. But the fact is that Man United had the perfect situation. They got that win against Liverpool, and rather than having that letdown spot, they went on an international break, so they're able to reset and go into this game against Brentford. But it still turned out to be a letdown spot. Now, you can look at the win against Liverpool in two different ways. For clubs moving in the right direction, that would be a momentum builder, so you wouldn't have wanted the international break, or you could look at it as a potential letdown spot. I would say both situations were reset with the break. You can't build momentum because you're going on a break, and also you can't really be a victim of a letdown spot and have that big crash of morale and energy because you are now going on the international break. So it was just, for me, a complete reset, and the reset occurred against Brentford. And after training for 3 or 4 days, coming back from the internationals, Man United didn't turn up. The only excuse you could really offer these players would be that we had more international players and had less time to prepare for the game. And this was an excuse that was not only applicable to Manchester United, but a number of poor performances from top teams all across Europe, including a poor performance from both Man City and Arsenal, as they played out one of the most boring 0-0 draws in the history of the EPL. A poor advertisement for the Premier League, as everybody was probably tuned in for that game, expecting it to be some kind of title thriller, but instead it had almost no impact on anything other than making Liverpool the now clearer favourites to win the Premier League. So a very disappointing game on Sunday, a very disappointing performance from Man United on Saturday, and it's looking very, very much like we will not be in the top five. The only thing we can really hope for this season, I think, is to win the FA Cup. And if we play against Man City in the final, that's less likely. The only hope we really have of not playing against them is the fact that Man City have not beaten Chelsea once this season. So Man City are playing Chelsea, a team they haven't beat all season. They've had two draws, and at times Chelsea have actually outplayed Man City, and we'll see if that will be the same situation at Wembley. If it's Man United versus Chelsea, I do believe Man United have a chance of nicking a trophy. If it's Man United versus Man City, which is more realistic, repeat of last year's final, and Man United lose, you have to ask questions as to whether Erik ten Hag will keep his job with a sixth place finish and Man United reaching the FA Cup final. I would point to the number of injuries that Man United have had. We've been much better in this latter part of the season with 8 wins in the last 11. But when you point to that game in particular, the last one, you have to look at the fact that Man United did have almost a full strength lineup available and they played like that away to Brentford, and that is concerning. But at the same time, you look at the game against Liverpool, you turn around and you throw out all the people that are saying that Erik ten Hag doesn't know what he's doing. Erik ten Hag doesn't understand, no one understands his tactics. The players aren't playing for Erik ten Hag. I repeat what I said in the last show. If you don't like this manager and you've downed tools and you want a new one, then you don't beat Jurgen Klopp's Liverpool, especially with the players on the pitch who beat them at that time, when you're looking at the likes of Amard and Anthony being on the pitch and even contributing towards the scoring. That doesn't happen. That doesn't happen if you don't believe in Erik ten Hag whatsoever. So I'm not buying into that. I would keep him with a sixth place finish at an FA Cup final. If we finish up with a trophy, it's an absolute no-brainer. And I cast people back to when Man United actually sat Louis van Gaal with a fifth place finish and an FA Cup trophy. We sacked Van Gaal to bring in Jose Mourinho. Now, I wasn't displeased with bringing in Jose Mourinho, and it wasn't down to the fact that at the time I desperately wanted Van Gaal sacked, but I thought Jose Mourinho was the guy to take Man United to the next level, but that didn't turn out to be the case. So in hindsight, we look back at that and think perhaps Louis van Gaal was building something, finishing fourth and then finishing the second season with an FA Cup despite finishing outside the Champions League positions. But at the time, not finishing the Champions League places was absolutely unacceptable. But the way Manchester United have gone backwards since that, and the wait for a league title has got longer and longer and longer. We've won less and less and less, and we've played the Champions League less and less and less. Suddenly, you do feel like someone like Erik ten Hag could get time despite not finishing in the Champions League places. But the biggest disappointment, I think, is the fact that the Champions League places have extended to five spots. The way things stand, there are going to be five spots. And if United don't finish in any of those five, that's an even bigger disappointment, especially when you look at the two teams finishing above us, Aston Villa and Tottenham. Man United have much more resources at their disposal. We're a much bigger club than both of those. So whilst we take it in the chin, Man City, yes, Liverpool, yes, Arsenal, yes, Tottenham, Aston Villa, completely unacceptable at this point. And I think that will be something that will need to be looked into. But for me, I will be hoping to stick with Ten Hag, firstly because I like him, and second of all, when I look at the options on the table, especially the ones that have been mentioned, Graham Potter, shit, Gareth Southgate, shit, not interested in any of those guys coming in. So again, Thomas Frank also, that's another name that we've heard, not interested in any of those guys, and thus would rather subsequently stick with what we have with Erik ten Hag. Before we actually listen to Ten Hag and build towards this game against Chelsea tomorrow, let me take this quick pause to let you know you are listening to the Soccer Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. And SGPN is the home to 20-plus gambling podcasts, all completely free. This week's feature show is the MLB Gambling Podcast, because baseball is back, and so is the MLB crew with their free Daily Picks podcast. If you aren't already subscribed to the MLB Gambling Podcast, what are you waiting for? Let me also take this pause to tell you guys about Cut, which is the peer-to-peer social betting platform that's US-based and available in 40 states. Download Cut today in the App Store or over at cut.com. That's Cut with a K, K-U-T-T. And use the promo code, SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. Let me also utilize this pause to tell you guys about Underdog Fantasy. Underdog is the easiest place to play fantasy sports, and it's also the fastest growing app in the entire industry. Sign up today with the promo code SGPN and get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or visit them in the App Store, and don't forget to register with my promo code SGPN to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. You must be 18 or older and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-522-4700 or visit ncpgambling.org.
Okay, we'll leave it there. The second section is embargoed until 10:30 p.m. tonight. Samuel.
Eric, going back to the injury issues, there have been suggestions that your training sessions have been too intense for the players. Have you had to adjust the intensity in training at all over the season due to the injuries?
No, but we don't train too hard. And we need to be fit. This league This needs the standards in this league. You need to be fit, and otherwise you can't match the standards who are required in a game. And but we don't train too hard.
I know you brought some coaches with you from Ajax, and Mitchell, and an analyst as well. In hindsight, would it have been more prudent to have brought a fitness coach as well? A lot of managers bring fitness coaches. Is that something that you lack here?
No, we have. I think we have good departments. We have good people around with a lot of knowledge. We're based on data, and we make our decisions.
Thank you,
James.
Eric, just obviously on the schedule. I mean, last season you just had a crazy number of games and like a marathon season, and the first half of this season also just so many games. Since the turn of the year, I think you've had 13 games in 91 days. You had 22 over the same period last season. You're not playing every 3 days now. Is it in this situation where the injuries are a bit more of a concern for you, that you have got longer periods between games, but you're still getting the injuries?
No, because I know that it still has an effect. At the huge number of games we had in the last 18 months, that still has an impact on our squad and on, say, the
accumulation.
The accumulation, exactly, on the players.
And so just on that, I mean, it's literally, this is just something as a manager of a top-level club with an ever-increasing congested calendar, you're just going to have to find ways to manage as best as you can.
You need very robust players. That is the requirement. But as I say, when you go, where we are around Christmas, we were in the situations with a lot of injuries. And yeah, and then you have to bring them back. But in the moment they are free from injury, they are not going to be match fit, and then they are not straight back into the form. That also needs a couple of games, yeah. And before you get back in the rhythm. So yeah, what I say, it still had an impact.
And do you need, I mean, like some, like you say, robust players? I mean, Bruno plays every 3 days all the time, he's constantly fit, and you look across different teams in different leagues, they're the same. Do you need more robust players like Bruno going forward?
I think we have more players who are very robust, so as Bruno is. But yeah, that is the type of player you need, yeah.
Yeah.
Just back to an earlier question, which you didn't really answer, that the number of times we've seen good performances where we think to turn the corner, i.e. Liverpool, then to have such a disappointing performance, fans don't really understand why that keeps happening, what is going on in between those two games for that to happen.
But I explained several times, it is especially also to do, we don't have a consistent team. Every time we have to adjust, and then there are not the routines who should be, and that is because you have to adapt your team when people dropping out. And so now once again we have to adjust our team.
But that team you had at Brentford was a very good team.
I think it's a very good team. But it was this. We started in the same lineup as against Liverpool. But yeah, there you have, and you see that more after international break. That with many teams, the rhythm is gone away, because they played two games with different teammates, with different way of play, in different systems.
Well,
Eric, Chelsea have been through a situation where they had new owners. Those new owners made an awful lot of changes, and it hasn't really worked out if you judge it by their league position. Do you think there's a warning there for the new owners here that making a lot of changes doesn't necessarily mean good changes, that sometimes stability can be the way forward?
I think you need you need to follow the process, and so yeah, as I say, we are in a good trend line. There are coming good young players through, they are developing very, very well, so the progress, but it's just I'm telling, we are in a good way, we are in a good direction, and now we have to make the next steps, and don't interrupt this process.
Richard.
Hi Eric. Going back to Mason Mount, when you first became interested in him, were you surprised that Chelsea were willing to sell him, particularly to a rival like United?
I don't think they wanted to sell him. That is, And they wanted to keep him. And they offered him even a new contract many times. But he wants to make this step. And yeah, we are very pleased. He's a Man United player because he has great abilities, and I'm sure he will contribute, and he will become a big player for Man United.
Chris.
Eric, you mentioned earlier about the overload of work and fixtures, and just before about the fact that maybe what we're seeing now is a throwback to the World Cup in mid-season last season, and the weight of fixtures and work last season. Do you think the football has to learn that you can't just keep going back to the well over and over again, that players need a break, and that you can't keep hammering them like they have been hammered this past 18 months?
Yeah, well, we discussed it early on, absolutely. The players get overloaded and they can't bring the performances anymore. And we are already, I think, over the point and what we demand from our top players.
And if it doesn't change, obviously, it's only going to continue like this, where you're going to have players getting hurt, fans not seeing top stars out there playing.
So it is. You see this weekend, when City is playing without Walker, without Stones, then also you see the level is dropping with them. There was a different team as we faced them in the weekend. And so the levels from teams will dropping. In the moment, if we keep going on in this process we are now in by overloading the international program.
Okay, last two, Paul, Dave, Paul.
The club's been, as you said earlier, looking into why you've had so many injuries. How confident are you that that's not going to happen again next season, or is it a possibility because of the schedule and the number of matches?
You can't 100% avoid this. It's impossible. There's always, you are. It depends on certain facts. We have national teams. So 5 times a year, you give the players away and you don't have any impact. It's not completely true. With some national teams, we have very good connections and we manage the programs. But there are also others that they do what they want. And it's not you don't have anything in hand what they are doing there.
Hi Eric, you're probably going to have to win every league game left now to qualify for the Champions League. Would it be a failure for you and the players not to make the Champions League, or is there mitigation and an understanding from the new people in charge here about the injuries that could be a reason, a factor behind it, and therefore it's not as easy as it would appear with a fully fit squad?
I don't know, and actually I don't care, but I have high standards, and I would be disappointed when we will not qualify, and I know it will be very difficult because we are not in a good position, but we want to win every game, and that is the standard we have among each other, and we will keep going and keep being in belief and helping that standard. And that will be the approach from every game, and we will keep fighting till the end. But I know we are not in a good position. We have to catch up, and also I know we have had a lot of problems, and that's also I'm also realistic, man. In a competition where it's so competitive and the teams are so it's so close from levels with each other. You need the players to be available and to make a consistent team, to bring the routines in your way of play, and is depend the results. That is that's a fact. If you can't do it, if you every time you have to make compromises, you will drop your levels, you will drop points. When you can play a consistent team, your levels will going up. And as we discussed before, when you can bring the best players in your squad, you will collect more points, and that's a fact. And so, I will be realistic, but nevertheless, I will keep fighting till the end for every game. And I will demand for every game a win, because we are United, Man United, and we have to win every game.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
So I kept a lot more of his press conference in than usual. I did the whole thing because that was just a lot of stuff that everybody wants to know about. Although it was repetitive as every journalist kept going in and they were not accepting his answers. And probably rightfully so. That press conference could definitely be labelled under Erik ten Hag, fitness and injury edition, along with trying to find excuses for the inconsistency. And I don't think his answers in particular answered those questions, whilst also reaching and mentioning how Man City had missed players and how it massively affected their performance. City haven't performed quite like Man City throughout the season, although they did absolutely smash Aston Villa 4-1 yesterday. And the difference between City picking up wins and Man United picking up wins is the fact that Man City have a style of play and constantly deserve it. When Man City drew against Arsenal, they still carved out most of the chances with most of the ball possession and probably deserved to win the game. And Man City always play that way, whether they have injuries, players out, international break, no international break. Everybody's going through the same thing. Yet Man City and Liverpool, barring one or two seasons, have had consistent results over the last decade. And now Arsenal are showing that consistency from last year and doing it again and challenging for the Premier League once again. So we can't use excuses that are applicable to anybody else. Man United don't have more international players playing internationals than anybody else. In fact, I would say that less Man United players in the modern day are actually playing full minutes for their teams. These players aren't as important. When you look at someone like Bruno Fernandes, he's very important for his country, but someone like Casemiro didn't play. Someone like Marcus Rashford isn't important to the England setup. Looking across the team, I could go through every single individual player and say, are they important for their country? Are they not important for their country? But I don't need to, because when I look at the Manchester City team and I look at the entire squad, I can say you're all pretty important for your country because you're Man City players. And not a lot of Man City players go away to an international break and don't play. They don't sit on their arse like Marcus Rashford and don't play any minutes. So I don't think that these excuses are valid. He needed to answer the questions because he was put under pressure, but I don't think his answers were particularly valid. Yes, his answers had some validity in terms of what he was saying was factually correct, but when you bring in other clubs, it's a situation that is applicable to everybody. And we see this week to week when the NFL season comes about. Obviously, NFL cannot be compared to football because they take most of the year off and only play for 4 or 5 months. But when they do play, we constantly hear about banged up teams and injury issues and who's banged up from this matchup. And we look at situations such as the Monday-Sunday dichotomy, teams playing on Monday Night Football and their underperformance on a Sunday with less rest. And so scheduling always has an impact on that. But we also see week to week injuries having a massive factor because it's very physical. But it's part of the game. It's now become part of the game. What's the alternative? Less football? Less football for us to watch? Are we as supporters going to back these clubs and say, we want less games? We want less competitions. We want less matches. We don't want it to be scheduled so that we can watch as much as possible on television. No, it's done for the supporters, and obviously because the supporters will watch more, it's done for financial reasons. Because don't for one second think it's been done solely for the supporters and that these people in commercial industries give a fuck about us. But it does in turn benefit the supporters, and if it benefits the supporters are more likely to put their hand in their pockets. Although me personally, with the number of female punditry that we see across the main commercial platforms, I would prefer to now stream my content from elsewhere. But that's another day for another matter, probably on another platform where you won't get cancelled for such an opinion. But ultimately, it is down to the consumer. It's down to supply and demand. And until there is less demand, the Premier League and others will be in a situation where they need to provide, they need to supply to fulfill that demand. And this is not going to change. So you can cry about your players and wrapping them up in cotton wool and, oh, he got a boo-boo playing for his country. No one gives a fuck because this is the situation. People are watching. And whilst people are watching and there is commercial revenue coming in, these games will continue to be organised. And we can sit here and we can cry about this player and that player and this happened and too many games. No one gives a fuck. This is football in this modern day. It generates a lot of money. And whilst the money comes in, there will be more games and there will be less breaks. And you need to be able to navigate that. And you cannot point to Liverpool, Man City, whoever, because look, they're above us in the league. They didn't go to Brentford and play like a sack of shit like we did. So there's no excuse for that. Yes, we've had a lot more injuries than other teams, and we can point to that. And the journalists are right to question the training as to why that's actually happening, because it can't just be bad luck while we have more and more injuries than everybody else. So that needs to be asked. But at the same time, it is unlucky. You can point to certain things to excuse why Man United are in this position, and that could be an excuse to give Erik ten Hag another season, especially at the back of that win against Liverpool and another FA Cup final. But that is about it. It's an excuse for another season. It's not an excuse for why a full strength crop of players go to Brentford and play like a sack of shit and probably should have lost by 4 or 5, which is the most concerning thing. And I believe ten Hag addressed it better immediately after the game, which is one of the rare instances where he did throw his players not under a bus, but was honest enough to say that was bad and we deserve to lose, which is a rarity for ten Hag, because he's found excuses for things throughout the season and has protected these players, overprotected these players somewhat. And ultimately, it comes down to me to getting rid of some of these players very, very quickly. Some of these players do not belong here, and we need to really make a decision on who and who isn't a Manchester United player again this summer. A big clear out is needed. I think as many as 8 to 10 names can go from this squad. It's just a case of who is going to take our shit, which has been proven to be clearly not good enough to make an impact in terms of making Manchester United a top 4 or 5 team in the league. Let's move on to the game against Chelsea, where Man United travelled to Stamford Bridge as the 13-5 underdogs. It's 16-5 on the draw, and Chelsea here are 5-6 -120 favourite. It's hard to make a case for United away to Chelsea, because Chelsea have been strong at Stamford Bridge since the turn of the year. But we also saw them lay that massive egg at home to Burnley. It was a game where Chelsea were held by 10 men. But it wasn't a case of Burnley putting the bus out and playing in a defensive low block. It was, of course, tactically. But the fact is, Chelsea penetrated that twice and were pegged back twice. So they actually made the breakthrough and were pegged back by 10 men. And then they made the breakthrough late on and they were pegged back by 10 men within seconds of going 2-1 up. It was a completely unacceptable result. We know who Burnley are. We know what Burnley have done this season. They have not adjusted well to the Premier League. So it was a horrible result for Chelsea. And they come into this game against Man United looking to bounce back from that. Meanwhile, Man United are looking to recover from their last performance in West London, which was against Brentford. It was very, very poor. United did not stay in West London because teams just don't do that. They went all the way back and are now coming back to Chelsea for this outing in pretty much the same location. United will be looking to take advantage of the fact that Chelsea did make some serious slip-ups in the game against Burnley. Defensive errors with Chelsea never seem far away. And while that is combined with a strong attack and does make for entertaining football, it means it's particularly difficult to put much faith in them, particularly as United are unlikely to hold back. They have shown that they can score goals. They did against Liverpool. And this could be a game that does deliver the goals tonight. I do believe that these two teams are at a point where they have nothing to lose. Chelsea aren't really looking to do much this season in the league. They're sitting in mid-table, whilst Man United's chances of qualifying the Champions League are getting less and less by the day. Although, if you look at the league table, Man United are far away at the moment, and you can't make a case for this United team winning their games in hand. But after we do play this game away to Chelsea, and we play the home game against Liverpool at the weekend, the schedule does get very, very easy. And on paper, at least, Man United should be able to win out. We heard a journalist say Man United would have to win every game from this point. But if we do, for example, draw this game and are beaten at Old Trafford by Liverpool in a revenge game at the weekend, if we do end up with 7 wins, 1 draw and 1 loss, I think that may be good enough to finish in the top five. Because Tottenham, who are currently 9 points ahead of us, and we have a game in hand over them. So let's be optimistic and say Man United win that game, reduce it down to 6 points. Tottenham have a spell where they could lose 3 games in a row. They play all of the top three in 3 games in a row. So one way to look at it would be that Tottenham could have a serious impact on the title race. The other could see that Tottenham actually finally start losing some games because their performances have significantly regressed. They were very lucky to win the game against Luton at home. And if you're lucky to win games at home to Luton, then everything isn't perfect with Tottenham necessarily. So I do believe that there is some hope for United, but United have to do their part. They have to win their games as well. As for this particular game, I'm going to do something I don't do very often, and that's take a punt on over 3.5 goals here, as I do believe we have reached a point where it just doesn't matter for these two teams. They have two defences that I cannot trust, and the data is also in our favour as well. 6 of Chelsea's last 7 league games have featured at least 4 goals. Chelsea have scored at least 2 goals in 7 of their last 10 outings, which is probably going to be the case again today. So you'd think United would have to score 3 goals to win this. Whilst BTTS, as a bet, has cashed in Man United's last 6 away games. You could also opt for BTTS with over 2.5 goals tacked on at a slightly shorter price. But we're not taking this as a lock, so this is not a one-unit selection. It's just something that I feel is the right side for this game. So we're going to take over 3.5 goals at plus money, at even money plus 100 for our main lean here for this one. That's it for me. Good luck with all of your bets as always, guys. And thanks for listening.